Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Access Astrology, where three astrologers share our joy, our love, our fascination, our curiosity about how the patterns in the stars and the planets are affecting our life here on Earth. And every week we talk about how the aspects are manifesting right now and how that can affect your life. And then we take questions from the audience by phone and by email. So let us introduce ourselves first. I am Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you tonight from St. Paul, Minnesota, on a hot, steamy night. And we're joined by Mark.
Mark Waltz in New York City, Manhattan, and we have one of our first cool nights in a while.
Uh-huh.
Well, cool, it's in the 80s, you know. And so the way the summer has gone, that feels pretty cool.
That is cool.
And also in New York, we have...
Ann Ortley on the Upper East Side at my bright red desk. And it's one of my first nights without air conditioning. Because
right.
In the sky, it's not so hot. Yay! So I'm not going to have a $3,000 electric bill, just a $2,000 one. But, yeah, so...
Certainly saw that line of wild weather going through New York. At first, it went across the country, creating little storms and vortexes and wildness, you know, the sinkhole that ate an SUV in Milwaukee, before it moved on through Chicago with some amazing straight-line winds and went across. Now, I don't expect the wild weather to go away anytime soon, so enjoy the cool night when you get it, because with Pluto squaring Uranus and Jupiter on one side, Saturn soon joined by Mars on the other, and this coming weekend going into a full grand square T-square as the moon heads into Aries and joins that lineup already in Aries. I think that the feeling that we're caught at the crossroads in our life and caught in the crosswinds of the air, quite literally in the atmosphere, and quite, politically crosswinds, personally, feeling the winds around us. You know, on a nice quiet day, you could just need a nice breeze in the backyard and sort of not feeling particularly energized because there are so many different things calling us in different directions. We might as well just sit still for a little while. So if we're in an indecisive place or feeling stuck, it can just feel like less energy than normal with Mars and Saturn conjunct. But for many people, and we have an email tonight from a listener who's at a real crossroads in her life trying to decide whether and how to get sober and whether or not to get sober. We'd like to look at her chart later on because it seems to me key as an issue is how can we take this time and choose a good direction in the crossroads, even if it means letting go of one path and putting some more energy into going to another. But before we do that, you know, this last weekend we had Neptune and Mercury oppose each other. Mercury is transportation. Neptune can open up our intuition but leave us feeling foggy, a little logy, a little confused, and create confusing circumstances. This aspect, along with Mars moving into an opposition with Uranus and square Pluto, that's a pretty dangerous, accident-prone energy. So it looks to me like it's accidents that are caused by confusion. And I've heard of several cases of it. And Mark, you went through one this weekend personally, didn't you?
Yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about that? Just because I think it's such a good example.
Yeah, this was a little incident of driving up to Palisades Parkway, northbound, and it's a rather narrow, four-lane divided road, two lanes in each direction, but no shoulder on the road. And so some clown decided to back up in the right lane. Not a good move, because, you know, all these cars coming northbound, and so two cars ahead of me veered around it, and then it was my turn, and there was not as much room to get around, but I managed somehow to squeeze through and then ended up going into a skid and hitting a curb and then rolling the car over. So that was a little more adventure than we were looking for.
That is so scary.
Yeah.
And I've heard of several other similar incidents where it's not, one car screws up and creates confusing circumstance, but it's another car in response to that that makes the best of it and ends up being the one that looks like they caused the accident or is the one that felt the accident. So it is a time to be, that some of the accidents you just can't avoid, like the one you were in. There was just no way to avoid that accident.
Well, you're driving into it.
Yeah, if you're driving, you're in it, you make the best of it, you live, no one else was hurt. That's pretty miraculous under those circumstances.
Even the cat was okay.
The cat came out okay.
The cat came out okay.
That's just pretty amazing.
Yeah, she was in a little box in the back seat, and the box went flying around, and she rolled over and over. But I figure that was probably why the car landed upright in the end, because, we always say that cats land on their feet.
On the car, and
so the whole cat landed on its feet.
The cat and the car that the cat was riding in landed on its feet.
Exactly. Everybody landed on their feet. Yeah.
Bless that cat. So, I think you had fast reflexes under the circumstances.
All that standing on your head, you got a good blood supply, Mark.
Yeah.
That's right.
Good for you.
The yoga teachers all say that if you can remain steady at your center, it doesn't matter that everything is spinning around you.
Right.
You can have violence all around, but if you keep your peace, you experience the peace.
So that's a good analogy. That's a good analogy for the week ahead too, because
I agree. Absolutely agree.
We have a lot of spinning around in the sky. With the planetary aspects that are taking place, which are going to ask us, all of us, to kind of work on a different level. We have a configuration, which we've been talking about for a few weeks on the show, about the T-square that's forming in the sky. So what happens this week is Mars goes into Libra. And when he goes into Libra, what he does, the T-square is kind of like, think of it as one of those mobiles over the crib, or the mobiles in the above your desk, where it's kind of just gently balanced. Not it's not really causing a whole lot of problems, except maybe Mel Gibson, but it's kind of just swaying. So what's going to happen this week is Mars is going to join the Libra, and he's going to jump on Saturn's bar and hang out with Saturn. And as he does that, he's going to whack Uranus, and he's going to set the mobile to spinning. So very similar to the way you whack one of the poles or you put weight on one of the poles, it makes the mobile go very, very wild. So this week Mars is going to come along and trigger or set off, whatever phrasing you want to think of. He's going to set off this delicately balanced thing that is kind of spinning with a little bit of craziness, certainly, because we've been seeing it in the culture. But as he comes and joins with Saturn, he's going to disrupt the balance that's in place and set things in action. So we, as astrologers, we always look for the planetary pictures that form, and then we wait for the triggers. So this week is the trigger of Mars. And Mars is a malefic. He's in a sign he doesn't particularly like, Libra. And imagine the Lord of War, going to tea at your grandmother's house and having to learn how to pour a crumpet and butter the scone. And he's got those muddy boots full of leaves, and he's kind of sweaty and smelly. And he's in from war, so he's like, I don't know that I want to do it. And literally, we had the WikiLeaks people, published 19,000 or some enormous amount of pages on the war of Afghanistan, saying, okay, let's talk about the war. Mars is in Libra, the papers about the war, which set the mobile a-spinning. We're going to have that in our lives, too. So wherever you have the Libra house, that house is going to suddenly start turning into Mel Gibson. Whereas before, he was very quiet, and it was the Aries house that was yelling and jumping. Now the Libra house is going to yell and jump, and that happens this week. It's a very big week for starting the story of how we're going to work with that T-square. So I think we want to watch that because this is a big spinning kind of out of control craziness, kind of like Mark's car where it rolled over and over and he was okay, but the car is totaled. And you're going to have a similar event in your life. Doesn't have to be a car accident, but it is going to be something, hopefully not, that is going to make your world spin a bit as Mars hops on that mobile and makes everything kind of go wild. So remember, keep your center. Do like Mark did. Keep your center and say, oh, wow, car, not good. Backing up, not good. Let me figure out what to do and then go through the roller coaster ride that will be showing up in your life this week. So it's a biggie. It's a big, big week. Big week.
It is. It is.
The astrologers have been jumping up and down and dancing about this for the last 4 years, and it's finally here, and I can't stand it because it's like, hurry up, hurry up. It's like Christmas Eve, you know? I want to know what's going to happen. So, yeah, it's really big.
Yeah, there's a lot of new, there's a lot of spin in the blogosphere about what could happen from this. And yes, it will stir up any sense of rebellion or resistance because there's, but it is also asking us to be responsible, to do responsible, you know, in some ways having the Mars-Saturn conjunction is helpful in this because it slows us down and asks us to be responsible even when we don't feel like it, even when there's this urge to break away and run away. One of the things we have to watch out for is you know, it's like the quick release bindings on the heart or a sudden irrational move. Yes, there is room for people to get a little crazy this week, coming week. It is a good time to just play it safe and keep your, you know, but to, we find that mistakes get worse if we're bored under the Moon in Aries and under that Mars lineup. So we have to use our energy well. It feels good to get tired. Just do so with a, with an eye on making it a safe way to get tired. We have to get out there and live. Just keep your antennae open for the need to respond and respond creatively.
And for people backing up on the Palisades Parkway.
Exactly, for the unexpected wild cards to happen like that. But also for the unexpected wild cards of an opportunity, of someone opening a door, of someone saying, hey, I've got an extra ticket, you want to come? Because the it can be serendipitously positive as well as wild card negative. There is some spin, you know, people have been talking about a possible stock crash during this aspect. I don't see that personally. I see it more the precipitation of karma. I see action happening, and I see sometimes not such wise decisions being made, but also a lot of energy put behind us to make the changes we know need to be made. So I think it's a very good time to really look at the crossroads that we're in our life and use this to let go of one and move forward in another.
And look for balance. Real it's really key to use the Libra energy. It's interesting that Saturn and Mars together in Libra favor Saturn very strongly, and that's not a bad thing. So by seeking balance in our actions and being responsible for our part in any kind of balancing, we use that Libra energy very constructively, and Mars can express there in a controlled and balanced way. And where we get in trouble is if we go with the resistance of Mars to Saturn's authority and the resistance of Mars to having to balance and consider the other person. And if we go with that resistance, then, you know, we have a big wild energy to fight against it. And then there's Uranus across the way saying, yeah, me too. You know, tip the whole thing my way. And, mm-hmm. you know, then you know, you've got a steep angle rolling everything toward Uranus, who's more than happy to run off with the energy. So if
yes.
you can kind of keep the balance of Saturn and Mars having to work through Libra, it's a much more positive thing, and you can find positive ways to work with that Mars and even learn something about your own Mars energy. you know, and what happens when you organize it a little bit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that...
Now, and...
Yep.
I was going to say, can you give out the number to call later? When we're going to talk a little bit more about what's going on in the week, but I just want people to get the number ready in case...
The number, the calling number is 347-215-8881. So if you have a question for the astrologers, 347-215-8881. And remember to press the pound key so it raises your hand so I call on you. Or not the pound key, the one key.
No, the number one.
The number one key, right, yeah.
I've seen a lot of people feeling a certain emotional impatience, just, you know, where relationships are in a little bit of a challenge this week. With Venus and Mars in Virgo for the last couple of weeks, the self-criticism and the critique of others has caused some people to feel kind of reserved. I'm hearing this emotional urgency pushing people to and feeling their partner's reserve as if it is rejection, or as if it's just this urgency that this be that this that they feel as intensely between the relationship as they do personally, and this is putting some stress on relationships. I'm asking people to slow down and realize that the urgency may not be about the relationship; it may be about something else in their life, and to tune in and feel. Feel the support is there that is underneath the waves, the support for making good changes, that the urgency is about where do they want to use this urgency to create, you know, support and positive growth rather than to put it right between the relationships. Sometimes the ones that are doing well, I'm seeing, are ones that have, car accidents like you just had, or some other challenge where the couple's working together to deal with a challenge on the outside rather than between them, because then it's much clearer that the challenge is not about the relationship.
Yeah.
Do you have any comments on that, or Anne?
No, I think Mark was.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I think when we, you know, we forget sometimes that the aspects in the heavens are really all part of bigger cycles. So that the cycle that we're working with here is the one that we've had running for the last 2.5 years since Saturn and Uranus started arguing with each other in the fall of 2008. And it actually harks back to 88, 89 when they joined together and they said, wow, let's join together and start a new cycle of creating structure that's changeable. And then they last fought like they're fighting now in the 60s, where they said, let's change the culture and change the hierarchy. And now we're looking at it, I think, from the point of view, not so much about the differences, but we're looking at the class structures. And I think that the woman who was criticized and fired and then offered her job back because she said, you know, I realized it wasn't about race, it was about class, and her comments were taken out of context. The edited version was shown as opposed to the full context of what she said. I think we have to kind of,
that's
all of us.
Neptune piece.
Yeah, that's the Neptune. So it's also about understanding that we're all at this crossroads. And, you know, we want to hop on something and go, the energy is really about what do we do with it? How do we work with it? What can we be productive about with it? As opposed to arguing or jumping or saying, you know, it's about giving it permission to show up in a new way. And I think that's really the major piece here. If we do that, then we really are working on a higher level with the energy as opposed to feeling beaten up or picked on. That it's here to ask us to change, and that, you know, really the area that we're supposed to change in is an area that we've been dissatisfied with for a while, and we've been working on trying to change. And we have to sometimes do the thing that makes it feel a little overwhelming, but that when we do that responsiveness, we realize that the responsiveness to the request to change helps us. And that's the space, if we stand in it, that it's helping us move to the next level. It's helping us move to the higher vision of what we can be. So I'm like, okay, you know, well, I don't really like it, but let me try and figure out how to handle it. And if we do it that way, then it really calms down a lot, the energy, and we don't feel nearly so overwhelmed by it. So that would be my version of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of cool.
Yeah, meanwhile, that Neptune opposite Mercury is a tricky uh-huh. one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's when we're, you know, we all need to watch out for what's being communicated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, because what's actually being said isn't what really is being said. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
It's being
and the situation is very confusing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that, for example, all of the documents that were just released about Afghanistan, mm-hmm. there are many, as you said, there are thousands of pages here.
Mm-hmm.
Taking anything out of context can be used to create a misunderstanding depending on the slant of the person who's doing the interpretation.
Right.
It's going to take a long time to sort through those documents to figure out to get anything more realistic, except that there's been a lot held back that we don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the process that if we can offer to anybody else what we would ask for ourselves, this is under the tougher the transits, the more we need the golden rule.
Mm-hmm.
If we would want someone else not to take our words out of context, but to make sure they understood what we meant before judging us, we need to be able to do the same to them. And the more charged and inflammatory the comment or the apparent situation, the more important it will be to slow down and to look for the truth underneath it and confirm our facts.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be pretty tricky.
Well, it is, because the tendency with the T-square is to project onto the other guy the parts of yourself you don't necessarily want. That's the issue with T-squares, is we take one side, it's an opposition in a square. So we look at the other guy and go, you're, and they're looking at us going, wah, 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 and there's a place in the middle where we can meet, but because we're on polar opposites, it's hard to imagine that. But it really is there. It's about, okay, how do we get there? What do we do? So it's an understanding of what the, what's the right word for it? An understanding of how to work with it on a different level. And I think if we do it that way, that can help a lot. But at other times, it is going to be rolling your car. It is going to be getting an unexpected notice that your bank account is frozen because the IRS hates you. It is... kind of a shocking news that your husband's, having an affair and wants to leave. It is, whatever the story is that comes into your life that goes, and you go, wow, I didn't see that coming. But then on another hand, I'm in it, so let me just figure out the best way to work with it. And I think that's the part that's hard, is that it's what is the best way to work with it, especially when it's so changing and so rapid. And it's a very volatile week. The other thing we have happening this week is, besides Mars going in and setting off all those things, Mercury changes signs too, and he goes from Leo to Virgo, so he sets off the T-square too. And so that means we're going to get communication that's shocking or surprising, and then we're going to go, okay, how do we work with that? Because it's not just the action.
Luckily that...
Huh?
It trines to the Pluto. My hope is, as it... moves into Virgo and gives us a little bit more capacity for critical thinking,
mm-hmm.
and it moves into a trine with Pluto, it deepens our thoughts and will allow us to think this through more clearly, even though it may take our minds to the rather drastic actions that may have occurred.
It may deepen our suspicions.
Right.
Or it may have us...
But if it does, for good reason.
Right. Or you look at the guy coming backwards at you going, I think he's going the wrong direction on the Palisades Parkway. What the hell's going on here? You know, okay, I have to respond because he's backing up at me. You know, it's like a little scary. And somebody gave that man a driving license. You know, there I am being judgmental. But, you know, there's part of me that goes,
so that's,
wow.
Again, I saw the movie, speaking of Mercury-Neptune opposition, I saw the movie... Inception yesterday, and I had so much fun putting it down.
Mm-hmm.
I had, under the Virgo time, it's nice to find some place where we can feel absolutely guilt-free to do a rant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it really isn't safe to rant at anybody, and it really is a misuse of this energy. But our critical mind is unusually sharp right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always good at perceiving what needs to be fixed right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's with the Mercury-Neptune opposition. But our critical mind does need a place to sharpen its edges, so it's good to give your mind something to chew on.
Right.
It's silly to rant about a movie, and I just think that movie was an amazing, although technically brilliant, it had no emotions, no soul, it manipulated the audience, and it had a paucity of use of symbols on the dreamscape, but that's my perspective.
So Heather, how'd you feel about it?
I was disappointed.
Did you feel like you wasted your? I don't know how much movies are in Minnesota, but here in New York they're $13. I have to say, when I go to a movie and I'm not happy, I'm like, that was a waste of $13. How much are they out there?
You know, if I hadn't had if there wasn't such a build up, I wouldn't have been so disappointed.
Oh.
But I was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
So I have an email here from
mm-hmm.
someone who chooses to remain anonymous. So we'll call her Anani. And she is a January 24th, 1967, at 9:38 p.m. in Oakland, California. And she is someone who has had a drinking problem for a long time. And she's feeling like she might be at a real turning point and is, you know, looking into programs to help her turn around, but has been struggling with drinking for a while. And she was, you know, is there any chance that, you know, what are the aspects? Will they help her turn it around? So,
okay, so January 2467, 9:38 at mm-hmm. night, Oakland.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
It's 1/24/1967. I'm sorry, 1/24/1967.
Yeah, January
24.
At
9:38.
Yep,
that's it. January, okay. Yeah, definitely addictive issues. I would want to know what she's doing with her art. The way this chart gets out of being addicted is to use the Neptune in a new way. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, if we look at, you know, if people following along at home, look, she's got a grand trine in water with Neptune in
mm-hmm.
the third, trining her moon, and Jupiter in the Cancer, trining the Saturn and the Chiron in the sixth. So it's also a family history of alcoholism, probably from her, looks to be from her mother's side. Could be the
mm-hmm.
father's too, but I would blame it on the mother's family, probably the mother's mother, possibly the grandfather. But, you know, it runs in the family. So she's got all those planets in the fifth house, Sun, Mercury, Venus, and that's her creativity. And if she is using her creativity in a way that makes her feel content and served, it calms down the need for the alcohol. Because the Venus
mm-hmm.
squares the Neptune, and the Venus is the ruler of her first house, co-ruler of her first, and also the ruler of her obsessive house in her north node, can actually find some direction with that. So it's like this chart needs to have a creative outlook, and that grand trine in water can get very mushy in terms of its energy. It also... because there is so much water, she's highly sensitive and really intuitive, and she's got that Virgo rising, so she's also pretty critical of herself. And
mm-hmm.
right now, she's got Saturn through the first, so this is a good time to get sober. It's a good time to...
Mars is cross the ascendant.
Right, just cross the ascendant. It's a good time to kind of come up with a new plan for how you're going to live. But the only way her chart can really do it is to take the air trine that she has, which are all those really... because she also has a grand trine in air... And see, this is where sometimes people go, grand trines, man, that's great. But grand trines can be harsh, too. They're hard to get out of. So you have to figure out how to get out of it.
They're a hard cycle to break.
If they're a hard cycle
to
break.
You have to use them well because you can't break the rut.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't break them and you're in the flow. But she's got the grand trine in air and the grand trine in water. So she you know, she kind of talks herself into why she has to drink, which is okay. I'm not criticizing that, but it's because the energy of the air and the water trine need to be linked by her giving herself permission to do her art, whatever that is. Wasn't necessarily approved of by the parents, but if she gives herself permission to do that, that will help take away some of the magic that the alcohol holds. What she's trying to do is connect with God, and alcohol does it. Art does it too.
She needs her own. It's spirit or spirits.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And she definitely looks like the strong need that to connect to spirituality runs in her family on both sides, father and mother, but looks like more on the mother's side. With a Jupiter Neptune, with a Jupiter Moon conjunction at the top of the heart, the top of the chart, there's a strong connection to mother, which on a good day the mother can be very caretaking. But it also looks to me that there is an enabling pattern that goes on. It looks like there was some really intense difficulties. So this child walked in with either very strong past life memories or a very scary inner world with Pluto and Uranus alone in her 12th house. That she just had a lot of processing of intense stuff that went on behind the scenes, whether it was from another lifetime or from this childhood. And so there was some worries, some concerns, maybe some health issues growing up, and a tendency to feel a little sorry for herself in the process. What do I do with all these feelings? Because the Aquarius stuff can try to talk herself out of those feelings by saying, what I should be feeling is, that shouldn't bother me, rather than saying, hey, it bothers me, deal. But it looks like that there was some enabling, some caretaking around her that was meant in the best of ways, but didn't let her see how tough and competent she really is. And so finding out that she really is tough and competent, that she really can go into her psyche and face the fears and feel what it's like without the Band-Aid of alcohol, and find the spiritual resources to face that. Then, as you said, it's the art that takes off. Then her creative process begins to unfold, but it's hard for her to find access to that creative process, real access to it, not just temporary, you know, I'm slightly tipsy access, until she's cleared that out, the alcohol out of her system, because with that comes passivity and an inability to use comfortably your sensitivities when Neptune is used in its negative addictive form rather than its positive sensitivity and perception form. So I do think that she's at a turning point, but she's heading into her progressed moon just entered Pisces 2 months ago. So probably about 2 months ago, this cranked up. For the next 2 years, her progressed moon is going through the sixth house, and she heads into a new moon, progressed new moon, in about 16 months. So for the next year and a half, this is about healing. This is the best time in her life to focus, to let herself be sensitive, find therapeutic ways to deal with that sensitivity other than alcohol, find support for it, and focus on her healing. And if she can really prioritize her healing and finding safe and constructive ways to be sensitive for the next year and a half, it looks to me like she starts a whole new chapter in her life, and that a year from now, when her progressed, 2.5 years from now, when her progressed lunar new moon enters Aries, that she'll be really ready to, you know, enter life strong and solid with work to do if she lets this process complete. What do you see, Mark?
I actually don't have a full chart because my computer is not working. But I kind of pieced it together from what you all are talking about. And does her Neptune square the Sun?
Is the Neptune
square? No, it squares the Venus.
Squares the Venus.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. So another little piece of what you all are talking about there would be.
Very interesting point there.
She'll use her friends as an excuse for the drinking, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that means you want to maybe have to get a little tough about who's in your address book.
Right.
And because if you really want to clean up your act, you're probably going to have to associate with some different people for a while. Doesn't mean, you know, forever or whatever, but you may have some people around you who really don't get it, and they're not going to get why it is you need to make a change. And it's very hard to make a change when, you know, other people don't get that. So, and it may mean having to go your own way somewhat, maybe, you know, letting go of a lot of the associations that you've had. So where's the North Node?
North Node is in Taurus in the 8th.
Ah, okay.
Ruled by Venus in Aquarius, square Neptune,
Yeah, so that also, so Neptune's by the South Node.
Yeah, Neptune's within 12 degrees from the South, but it's there.
Further testimony to being drawn into the addiction, kind of, because things go easily there and you connect with people in the easiest way rather than taking a risk and reaching for people that make you have to stretch more.
Right.
And that's a choice you have to make. So I think what Anne was saying about the, you know, finding artistic permission and creativity, very true. And the other piece is looking at who you're with and what your friends understand and don't understand when, you know, if you have to go your own way, you go your own way.
I think
he was born at the...
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Anne.
Well, I think one of the things, you know, that a lot of times a chart like this would do is it would say, give it up forever. I don't know that I can give it up forever. And because it gets that, you know, the Aquarian energy is that all or nothing thing. But it is a chart that doesn't really have a bottom. And, you know, because of the water, that, you know, you've got all three elements of water with very big planets involved. This chart, you're in over your head on some level. So there isn't a bottom, you know. And so the thought of, well, I'll bottom out and then I'll sober up, or I'll just wait till whatever, this chart doesn't have a bottom. So the ocean is, you know, I mean, it's, who knew it was a mile deep in the Gulf of Mexico, but it's a very deep, deep, deep addiction. So this energy has to work with the energy of addiction on this. You have to float on it. You can't dive into it because you're in over your head. There's a very strong feeling of being able to talk yourself out of it, you know, because you are charming with the Mars trine the Venus. At the same time, your mother isn't helping you if she continues to take care of you. That, you know, that, and but that is what you're kind of set up. So there's an energy here where I'm looking and saying, you want to float on the ocean as opposed to swimming in it and assuming that you're going to someday be able to do it. This chart doesn't have a bottom. It will just keep going and going and going. And so giving it permission to not go is actually a gift to it. And I don't know that anybody would say that to you. And the other part is, whatever the, I agree with Heather when she brought up the past life thing. I really do think a past life regression session with someone who's actually skilled at bringing up the past life and helping you heal it and release it would help a lot, because I think you would see things that you hadn't seen before, and that would help perhaps release some of the demons that are running around in there. Yeah, because it's a hiding chart. You know, you're hiding from the past.
Is that and recovering? You know, that when you feel like, okay, whether or not I know what's happened in the past lives, I am giving myself permission to recover this lifetime.
Right.
I don't have to get a lot done, but I do have to get move towards my wholeness. One of the things with that grand trine and water sign with Jupiter and Neptune so closely tied in there is is to really work with the blood sugar. It's common in many alcoholics that there is a hypoglycemic pattern. But I'd really suggest with the because this person was born also the last time Saturn and Uranus opposed each other solidly.
Right
in the middle of that intense opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And has been probably ringing for the last 2 years with that opposition as it comes back. But that also will allow you to make a great change when you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very erratic aspect, but it can be erratic for you. It can be a breakthrough aspect. It can really make a break from the past when you're ready and if you make the decision to do so. We'll really support that process. If you're ready, it's time. But to support you, because those are planets are in the houses of health, it suggests to me that taking a really thorough naturopathic approach to your health, to really, because drinking for a long time completely throws off the blood sugar level, and it skews it uses up massive quantities of B vitamins to digest the sugars. Which makes you low on B vitamins, which makes you hard to handle stress. So then it feels like more stress, so people tend to drink more. So it looks like this chart really needs a thorough approach to a healthy diet and even blood sugar to support your efforts to have a life without the alcohol. And that if you do that, it will ease it up. Use, you know, what Mark said about your friends, being so intuitive and so imaginative, you soak up your surroundings. And that's where a group approach to sobriety can be really healthy for you, that you're around people who are working on turning their lives around. It'll make your job a lot easier. So I wish them luck. I'd like to get. Is there anybody else there out there on the? You want to give the number out again, Anne?
Uh-huh.
Anybody on the line?
Pull up the thing. The number is 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. And we do have a caller. Caller 212-316. You don't have your hand raised, so I'm not calling on you. If you want me to call on you, press the 1 key, and I will. Meantime, here's 212. Hello, 212. How are you? Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air. Can we help?
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to look at my chart, please.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. And my name is Trish. And
okay.
My birthday is November 4th, 1969.
Mm-hmm.
At 10:24 a.m.
Where?
In New York, New York.
New York, New York. It's a beautiful town.
New York.
That's right.
And any particular questions that you want us to focus on?
I do, please. I might have a possible writing opportunity coming up, and it just came to me at the end of last week, and I'm just wondering if it might look opportune in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's take a good look at this.
Yep, you got something.
And you've got...
Yeah, big.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, big. I'd say go for it. It looks very positive. You should have it closed by the beginning of September,
wow.
If not sooner. But, yeah, no, very nice. It's something you've worked on for a while because of the reason I'm saying it for those following along at home, Saturn's coming to Uranus, which is the rule, is in the house of writing and communication, the ninth house, and it rules the second house of money. And so it's money being paid for writing, too. And then Jupiter and Uranus are in the third house of writing and communication, opposite the Pluto. It may go through a couple permutations, but I think it'll
mm-hmm.
definitely close by the first week in September. You'll be writing totally. Looks very nice.
Yep. Oh, that's great.
And it looks like you have, you're so smart, and you've got such a good mind.
Oh,
but
you.
It looks like you tend to edit yourself as you go along.
A lot,
and
yeah.
And giving yourself, that Virgo moon. And they give yourself permission to write and to break up the writing function and the editing function so that you write first and then look at it again as an editor.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than to censor yourself as you write will really help open up the flow. You've got Saturn in your ninth house crossing over your midheaven, over the next year. So people are taking you seriously. You've got a lot of hard work coming up in one way or the other, and it can feel like you can't be quite as creative or as lackadaisical as you might be at other times in your life. Mm-hmm. But that's because you're working on your craft.
Mm-hmm.
And to just go ahead and do the discipline end of it and listen for the inspiration that comes when you're doing the discipline. In other words, you have to sit down and write and the inspiration comes rather than wait for the inspiration to come to sit down and write.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to work Saturn on this one. And your Saturn is in Taurus.
Yeah, you got to
and he's
do your duty by the muse.
Yeah, he's a little curmudgeonly sometimes.
Yeah, it's sometimes hard to garner the energy to do it, and then when I get focused, I really get focused. So.
Right. If you sit down
you
for
do well
4 minutes,
short,
it'll help you get through. Huh?
Yeah. You do well with short deadlines.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
You actually
do well
in an emergency.
So
it's easier for you to do short, intense projects. Now, there's a bigger, longer-term, more investigatory process that you might do later on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, for the next couple of years, it looks like short-term, intense. You know, if you don't have any short-term deadlines, give yourself one. Say, by Friday, I'm going to show it to so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
And so by Friday, you have to have those pages done. And that intensity will help you focus and get the writing done.
That's a good idea, actually. And that's true. Even in college, I was the same way. I worked better with the 24 hours, you know, before the paper was due, that kind of thing. But it's sometimes a little too much, you know. But, yeah, that's a great idea.
Well, you've got a hard aspect between your Saturn and your Uranus. And so it's really about, giving those two guys the opportunity to work together because Saturn wants to structure it and Uranus wants to break free. You also do well if you partner with it. In the sense of you say, okay, I'm going to partner with my writing for this long, and then I get to whatever, and give it 6-7 minutes of warm-up writing, and that will help you break through to the next. After 7 minutes, it'll come in, but it doesn't. Your pipe doesn't start to flow until 7 minutes. So I would write gobbledygook, or not gobbledygook, but just journaling, you know, general musings, the air is blue, the cat is yellow, you know, whatever, for 7.5 minutes, and then your muse kicks. It doesn't kick right away.
And if you do it that way,
that will help a lot, you know, to get over that initial, oh, what do I write kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you've got really good aspects for it. And the full moon today started in January of last year?
You mean the writing in general?
No, this job or the connection with this person?
I actually reconnected with the person that gave me the opportunity or helped me to get this opportunity around that time. So that happened, yeah.
Yeah, because it's a culmination of the stuff that started in January of 2009. So that makes that's good. Yeah, because the full moon is right on your series, right on the edge of the creative writing, and it also trines the writing energy. Nice aspects.
Oh,
I think
great.
Definitely comes through.
Well, thank you so much, and
you're
I love
welcome.
Your show. You guys are great, so thank
great.
You.
Yeah, thank you. Glad you liked it.
All right, have a good night.
You too. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You too.
Okay, so the other two and two did not raise their hand, so I'm assuming they don't want to talk to us. Okay, they're just listening quietly in the background there. All right. We did have a letter from a reader, a writer, somebody wrote in. That's the way I'm going to say it. So it's Anne in Alabama's time of birth. I heard your podcast that mentioned my letter to you. Thanks so much for looking at my chart. And she gave us her time. So I wrote a message mentioning how I'm stuck between two directions, photography or Shakespearean literature. Any guidance would be appreciated, and I really enjoy your show. So this is Anne in Alabama. And her birth information is, I click on things and my computer does strange things. It's really learning this new computer is kind of fun. All right, so Anne is born in Montgomery, Alabama on 12/16/1957.
And
I'm working on it.
Time?
I'm working on it. My little computer is doing strange things here. And the time was 6:30 in the morning.
Okay. 6:30 a.m. And that gives her, and she was born just before sunrise in Montgomery, Alabama, I have,
mm-hmm.
with her Sun and Saturn conjunct on the ascendant, probably not that easy a birth, but healthy once she got out here, and a Moon conjunct Jupiter, another Moon Jupiter conjunction in the 10th house.
It's our Moon Jupiter day.
It's our Moon Jupiter day, both mm-hmm. in the 10th house, but this one in Libra,
mm-hmm.
At 24 and 26 Libra in the 10th house. So Sag, Moon in Libra, Sag rising, Scorpio Mars in the 11th, giving that deep, broody interior quality, with Venus in Aquarius opposed Uranus in the 8th. So she doesn't want to do just one thing.
I was going to say, why don't you both?
Yeah.
Why do you have to pick? And don't pick. Do both. You got Libra on the midheaven. You got Venus in Aquarius.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do both. This whole thing, you have to do one.
Or what? What
yeah.
was the other one?
Shakespearean literature and photography, I believe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She has Mercury in Capricorn stationary.
I know.
That's the trick.
That's the trick, yeah.
In conjunct Uranus. So I get the feeling that she thinks that she should be into Shakespearean literature and that she does love to research, but that she's sort of been there, done that on the mental stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she feels like she should be more established and responsible. But the photography, the art, especially natural photography, getting out there, the art form, not studying other people's art form, but investigating her own art form, looks to me like what is the catalyst for change in her life, instead of being stuck.
Right, right. Well, let me read you her letter from last week, because she's the one we read last week, and we forgot to. I don't know if you guys did the Empire Collapse questions. I didn't do that. Sorry, Bill, we're not going to do your empire today. All right, so Ann in Alabama wrote, I appreciate your show. I wanted to see if you'd look at my predicament, my birthday, da-da-da. I've been in photography most of my life, but I'm at a point of either admitting it's caused me to be financially insecure in my life and abandoning the effort, or trying once again to revive it. Lately, I've developed interest in literature, especially Shakespeare, and am considering getting a master's in Renaissance literature in order to become a professor in that subject. I sort of have one leg in photography and one in Shakespearean literature. Can you shine any light on this decision? Also, in general, I'm really in a down period and wonder if you see things improving. Thank you. I can't view part of this window for some technical reason, so please forgive any misspelled verbs. Thank you and take care. Ann in Alabama. So that was from Ann. So it's also depression.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's part of the story, which is a Mercury in Capricorn. Mercury in Capricorn is hard.
I really love you being
a professor, Anne. The Sag energy, professors, you got Pluto in the 9th. That's politics, politics, politics. You don't do well with politics. And it's in Virgo, so it's kind of a passion, but I don't know that it's a teaching passion. However, you are a good teacher.
Right.
You're a good teacher, but I don't know academic teacher. So I would say...
I'd love to see her teaching teaching photography.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, I would love to see it. And that doesn't mean she can't go back and get a master's in education or a master's even in Shakespearean literature if she wants, because any master's will help with the teaching,
mm-hmm.
the right to teach.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I would say master's in fine arts, she can, major in how to teach photography and minor in how to teach teaching literature. And teach both, but I'd like to see her more as an adjunct or as a part-time professor than a full-time for exactly the reason that you mentioned, the
mm-hmm.
politics of the work environment.
Mm-hmm.
And because I think her own art form, needs more in work. Now, for the last 26 months, her progressed moon's been in Virgo in the 9th house, and so that's she's been sort of studying as a way to get out of where she is now. But and I think research is healthy for her with that North Node in Scorpio, but it feels like she's been very hard on herself, and that has been amping up the depression question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Saturn's getting off her progressed moon.
Mm-hmm.
Saturn is crossing the midheaven.
Mm-hmm.
It is a good time for her to be taking to be stepping up to the next plate. But I think she, you know, to teach what she knows already, when the economy turns around, I think her photography can also turn around. But I'd love to see her teaching the photography, teaching in an art school, teaching what she's good at rather than necessarily starting over from scratch in her work.
It might help to look at teaching as being a means of self-exploration as well.
Mm-hmm.
Even though your primary purpose is helping people who are learning, you're really best able to teach what you're learning yourself, and
mm-hmm.
especially in the arts and anything that's expressive. So, you know, don't neglect that. It's part of the creativity of teaching is figuring out how you can get through to the students, but also part of the creativity is seeing what you learn about yourself as you go through it. And I think that will also keep it exciting and kind of raise the level of art also. There's a different connection to what you're creating when you are also teaching something, you know, and it will help to look at teaching as, you know, really being a legitimate self-exploration.
Yeah, there is a natural communication. The other thing is, one of the, you know, when you said before you were feeling poor from the money piece, you've got a configuration in your chart that has this kind of idea that somehow if you're an artist, you can't make money. And it's not necessarily true, but that's your belief system. So what I'd like you to work on shifting is your belief system around artists being creative, and that somehow by giving yourself permission to pursue your photography, you've screwed up your ability to make money from it. And I would recommend that you've probably heard of it, The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, where she steps you through a lot of the assumptions of what artists are and how they self-define or are afraid on some levels that there's a compromise involved. But I think in your case, it's more of a, well, if you do that, you're not going to make any money. And actually, your chart can do very well making money from photography. You know, you've got lovely aspects to do that with, and it doesn't have to be poor.
It's just been a tough couple of years to do it.
Yeah, but, you know, it sounded like she hasn't given herself, you know, because she's got Saturn coming to the top of her chart, too. So that looks like she's been doing photography for at least 12 years, 13 years. She's coming to the opposition, maybe even 14 years, maybe even 22 years. But I would look at the framework of the beliefs that you're carrying with you about making money from your profession. Because with your chart, you can make money from taking pictures of other people. It's just a matter of how you market it. And your chart has trouble marketing because Mercury is retrograde in the first in Capricorn. So you don't really know how to explain what you do.
And because you're a little honest.
Yes, because
one of the things that I noticed in this chart is that you, and it, because when you're feeling in a self-critical space, also it's hard to market yourself.
Yes,
that you're born with Saturn and the Sun close together, and when you're in Alabama and New Orleans in that area, you're closer to the Saturn line, and that's what tends to be people. If you can move closer to Alabama or to the East Coast, anywhere from Washington, D.C., down the coastline, you might it moves you closer to the Sun on the ascendant, and people can see you more clearly, and they like what you're doing more.
Mm-hmm.
So consider moving closer to Atlanta. Now, we're off in a few minutes.
The British lady spoke.
Up now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And for people that you don't know, we get this at the Blog Talk Radio lady that says we have 60 seconds left to go. So we want you to just take it safe this week. Be good to yourself in the process. Notice the crosswinds and stay very adaptable. And I'm going to say goodbye. As you each say goodbye, I want you to give your last bits of advice for people this week. This is Heather Rowan Robbins signing out from St. Paul, Minnesota. And we have.
And Mark Wolf from New York City saying, keep the balance.
Mm-hmm.
And Ann Ortley from my Bright Red Desk on the Upper East Side saying, oh, it's going to be so much fun, that new life. You just have to have a clear vision of it. And with all these planets changing signs, you're going to have a new life. So get focused on your vision. And with that, we say adieu, and we'll come back next week.
And
tell your friends.
And on the Access Radio sign, you can find all of our web pages, and we are we'd be happy to do a personal reading for any of you if you are interested in how these planets affect you personally.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay. Bye now.